You're listening to the J-John Podcast. Joining J-John this week is Rita Elmanea. Rita is the CEO of Sat7, a media organisation with a number of television networks across the Middle East and North Africa. Rita tells her inspirational story of growing up in Lebanon and her vision to use media to reach others with the message of Jesus. As ever, if you want to find out more about the Christian faith, visit jjohn.com or follow J-John on social media. And you can catch up with previous episodes on the J-John Podcast. You're listening to J-John in conversation with Rita Elmanea.
Rita, welcome to Facing the Canon.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Let's start at the beginning. You were born and raised in Lebanon.
True.
What was it like growing up during a civil war?
It was crazy and challenging and not easy. Being in Lebanon was a big challenge for me as a child. Of course, I didn't know better, so this is my country. Especially that my mother was very sick. She had cancer. And there is no medical attention to her, not a lot of hospitals, a lot of shellings and bombs around us. So it was a bit scary for us, for my sister and myself.
It must have been. And of course, sadly, your mother passed away, and you were around seven and your sister was five?
Yes. I was 7 years old. My sister was five.
So who looked after you and your sister?
We were shared. We go to my uncle's house sometimes, my auntie's house. My grandma, you know, like played a big role in our lives, the mother of my dad. She taught us how to pray, how to be close to God, because we were raised in a Maronite Catholic, you know,
yes,
like a family. So for 2 years, we were like this, shared around. We didn't know where to go. Sometimes we lived in bunkers because of the war. And our biggest fear was to lose our dad as well.
Of course.
But dad played a big role in our lives, my sister and I. We both studied media, and we both now work in Sat7, and I'll explain what Sat7
is. I know.
Is.
Yeah. Well, your father encouraged education, even though you were from, you know, quite a poor family.
That's
he
true.
He really wanted you and your sister to have a good education.
Yes, true. I mean, first he made us love television. So a lot of times where we feel insecure and afraid, and a lot of bombs, you know, like around us, and a lot of death.
Saw a lot of that.
Yes.
What effect did that have on you, Rita?
I don't know. I don't remember a lot. But now I know that I feel just afraid that my nieces or the family, because I have, two nieces now, that they will live like I lived. I have like nightmares of the war. So back then, I didn't feel anything. I mean, all I care about is somebody just to tap me on the shoulder and tell me everything is going to be okay. I didn't care about food or clothes, or I just wanted, you know, like to feel okay. And my dad let us feel okay. What he did, when we were in bunkers or we were afraid and a lot of bombs, you know, around us, he will bring a television set. And it was black and white those days. And we didn't have electricity. It's just like crazy outside. And then he will hook it to the car battery and he will let us watch television. And when the bombs are louder outside, he will come and put the volume higher. So we will forget about everything else in the whole world. And all we care about is just to watch this maybe Egyptian drama or cartoons or whatever. And this made us, both of us, my sister and I, love television.
Amazing.
And we said to ourselves, like, what about to have to study media, do television, but with a purpose, just to give hope to children like us. And this hope is through Jesus Christ.
Now, when you were a teenager, you had an encounter with Jesus. Tell us about that.
Well, as I said, I was going, you know, like to Maronite, you know, Catholic family. And I think those days it was a bit weird. So I'm not criticizing any church. It was weird because not a lot of people paid attention to children or to teenage. There was a friend of mine who invited me to a Pentecostal church nearby. And the fantastic thing there was they paid a lot of attention to teenage and youth and children. So I started knowing more and more about the love of God, about Jesus Christ. It was so funny, though. I have to say this. The beginning when I just prayed and invited Jesus into my life and wanted to build this personal relationship, you know, with Christ, it was funny because the pastor stood there and was saying, when you invite Jesus into your life, all your problems will go away. Yes. Everything, all questions will be answered. And I was struggling for many months, like, I still have the same problems. A lot of questions that I have, they're not answered until today. But the difference was that when I invited him to come into my life, I knew that I'm not alone anymore.
Yes.
I will go through difficulties. They will not go away, but I'm not alone.
Absolutely. I'm reminded there's a line in a hymn, Rita, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. So I think it's that reassurance that when you receive Jesus, you're standing on the foundation.
Amen. Amen.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you the second thing that my dad, you know, like my dad did to change my life and my whole perspective into seeing not just, you know, like the future with media and what television can play or the role of television in the lives of people. And, you know, like when it's also the television with the message, my dad shaped my relationship with God.
Yes.
Because I remember when the bombs also were heavy and I go back to the war zone, my dad, you know, like will always shield us. So, and I'm talking really shielding us, you know, glasses are falling down, shrapnels, you know, like going around, and my dad will shield us with his body. So if something happens, we will be okay, we live, and he, you know, like dies. And this also like shaped my whole relationship with the Lord. When I became a Christian, I knew that he is shielding me and he is there, you know, like with me. It doesn't mean that, you know, like sometimes say, oh, nothing will happen.
Yes,
you know, like, well,
of course.
Maybe
but he shields
will,
us.
But he is there.
Absolutely.
And we're not alone.
And then you were invited to join Sat7 mm-hmm. initially in order to make programs for children.
Yes. And it was a fantastic journey. I mean, today I'm the CEO of Sat7.
Yes.
And when I look back, I feel like I can see his hand in all this. When Sat7 came back after my screen test and after reading my scripts, they said, Rita, we need you. We would love you to be our children producer, script writer, and presenter. I was terrified. So I went home and I couldn't sleep that night. Sat7 was launched the 31st of May, 1996. This is the first broadcast, 2 hours a week. This is, I'm talking about 2 weeks prior to this. So I tried to go to bed. It was midnight, the 5th, 6th of May, 1996, 2-3 weeks before our first broadcast. And I couldn't sleep. So I was, you know, like, I started, you know, like, weeping and praying. And then I stood up, left my bedroom, went to the living room, and going in circles and praying and praying and praying. And that night, I heard his voice, and it's not something that, oh, Rita, no, it's just something inside of me saying, Rita, I don't need your skills. I don't need how you look in front of the camera. All I want you is to use this pain that you went through in your childhood years and use it for good. All I want you to do is to love these children that you're gonna serve. And this love is not your love. It's my love to them.
Yes.
So basically, you're going to take from me and show to these children.
Wonderful.
And I'm arguing and I'm saying, but God, how will I love children that I never met in my life? He said, I will let you see them. And I started, while I'm praying, seeing children from all around the Arab world. Children eating ice cream, dropping ice cream on their clothes. Children, you know, like with no shoes running around. Children, you know, like on the camel. And I felt that night that God has given me this love that hurts. You know, when you watch a comedy and you laugh and you feel like, oh, you know, you have this hurt in your stomach. This is what I felt that night. And God proved to me over the years that it was his call that night, because from that day, joints at 7, hundreds of letters, no SMS or, you know, social media, 96, hundreds of letters coming. I'm answering them, and I had to have, you know, like a full time with this program. And I started to go visit around.
Yes,
like,
and when you visited, you know, the children obviously knew you and would run and hug you.
And it was like the best, you know, like a feeling ever when I meet them and they run to me, to have a hug, or they're all their lips ready for a kiss, like, and sometimes sticky kisses, you know, all around. But anyway, I felt that they love me now because they saw me, but I loved them long before. Because I saw them before. God let me, you know, like see them. And until today, we're still, you know, like running this bedtime stories with Rita on the screen, even though I'm not doing a lot. But this is like a visa for me to get into the houses of people.
Absolutely.
Because when I go around, people don't care if I'm the president of Lebanon or whatever.
Of course.
This is the girl that teach our children about Jesus.
Yes.
And I'm invited into their homes. I sat with refugees eating with, you know, children in the tent in Bekaa Valley. Went, you know, to Algeria, to Tunisia, to Morocco. And they're all Muslim families. They're not like Christians.
No.
Muslim inviting me and want to break bread with me and, you know, and ask all kinds of questions. And this is priceless.
Absolutely. Well, Rita, just explain to us, what is SAT7?
SAT7 is a bouquet of satellite channels, two in Arabic. One for the whole family, the Arabic one, for the whole family with documentaries and films and youth programs and women's programs and music videos and church services. And the second channel is for kids. So it's at 7 kids in Arabic, covering the 5 different time zones from North Africa to the Gulf. The third one is in Turkish. It's at 7 Turk. And the fourth one is at 7 parts for Iran and Afghanistan, broadcasting in Farsi, and Dari and Tajik for Afghanistan. And why satellite? It's different a little bit from the West, because in my country, in the Middle East, you go to a shop and you buy a receiver and a small satellite dish, and it's like 50, 60 British pounds. You bring it home, you hook it to your television set, and suddenly you can watch more than 1,000 free-to-air satellite channels. And this is just talking about Arabic, you know, like you have also Turk and Farsi. So this is SAT7. There'll be 4 satellite channels, and we are also on social media now and video on demand. In 2021, we launched the app. It's SAT7 Plus. It's on Android and iOS for free. You just download it, and you can watch on-demand videos and all our programs, binge-watching if you want.
Sure.
And also, you can watch the live streaming, the live of all our streaming channels, HD, in high definition.
Amazing. So in the Middle East, potentially, how many people could tune in to SAT7?
Well, if now we are 670 million people in the Middle East, potentially, especially in areas that are wealthy or in countries that are wealthy, like Kuwait and Dubai, you know, like United Arab Emirates and Saudi, you know, like sometimes you have 2 or 3 satellites, you know, in the household. So potentially you have an audience of 670 million.
But the amazing thing about the Middle East culture, even in a little village, if someone has one, the neighbors all gather, don't they?
Yeah.
It's just a normal thing. The neighbors will go to the neighbor to watch the TV.
You know, like, I'll tell you this story. This is one of the first thing that I heard from viewers when I was doing, you know, like, doing children program. I was, you know, like, having competition on the screen. And then one boy from Tunisia won. So I said to this boy, congratulations, I'll send you a T-shirt from the program. this is like one, you know, like just I'm talking 25 years, you know, like ago. After that, after like 3-4 weeks, I received a parcel. I opened it and there was like 2 t-shirts from Tunisia. You know, to this, you know, like a thing.
Yes.
And there was a letter. And there was a lady like that I never met. She doesn't know the boy who won from Tunisia. She wrote to me saying, I am here with all my neighbors watching the children program, watching Sat 7. And when we saw that you gave a place for a Tunisian boy to be part of your program and send him a t-shirt, we decided to collect money and instead of one t-shirt to send you two. Thank you for what you're doing for
Amazing.
Us.
Amazing.
So this is, you know, like answer to what you said, everybody
Absolutely,
there.
Absolutely, everybody there. I know. Now, and the incredible thing about Sat 7 is that you're creating accessibility to so many people who would not hear about Jesus.
A lot of people never met, you know, like another Christian.
Yes.
So now, I mean, I remember our first respond is, you know, when the first time we went on air, that you're Christian, you speak Arabic, how come? And it was a great open door for us to say, hey, you know, like, it's just a language. And Christianity was 600 years before Islam.
Yes.
You were always associating Arabic with Islam.
Yes.
And it's not...
It's not.
It's not true.
No.
So it was amazing, you know, like, to be a platform for the church, a living witness. That's why we cover a lot of the church activities. And it's also a golden opportunity to explain about our faith, because a lot of times, you know, like people don't know. They're not resistant, but they don't know, they don't understand. So explain them about the Trinity, about Jesus Christ, about the love of God, about the hope we have in Christ. And I think what touched people's heart more than anything else, and I'm not talking about the Christian watching us, I'm talking about Muslim watching us, is how can you talk about forgiveness? How can you say that you turn the other cheek for somebody who hates you? Tell us more about this God that you worship. Tell us more about this hope that you find in Jesus. Last week, I was in Denmark, and then the head of the Bible Society there was, you know, like leading a devotion. He said something like beautiful. His name is Johannes. He said, we're not promoting hope as a strategy. Hope is not a strategy.
Yeah.
Hope is a person, and it's called Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And this is what we try to do in Sat 7, just to tell them about this hope and praying that this hope will be transformed one day to be faith,
yes,
you know, like in the hearts of people.
Absolutely. And we know, don't we, Rita, that without Christ, there's a hopeless end. But with Christ, there's an endless hope.
Amen.
I know.
Amen.
Now, you're reaching so many different countries where there isn't always accessibility for the gospel. In Iran, God is doing incredible things. And so many... Tell us, say... some stories, whether it's Iran or other countries.
The best testimonies and stories are from Iran. I mean, we conduct a research every 2 years to just to see how many people watching us. And according to our latest statistics, we have 13 million known viewers, you know, like watching Sat 7. And we're talking only Arabic because we cannot do it in
13
Iran.
13 million from
known.
Iran.
No, from the region.
Oh, from the whole region.
From the whole region.
But you are aware.
Aware that they, or they admit
sure.
that they watch Christian television.
So that's a very big congregation.
That's true. That's very
and,
true.
And a big responsibility.
That's very true as well. But numbers, they don't tell the stories. I mean, we, as Sat 7, we would love to hear stories more. You know, like when you say, oh, 13 million is watching, it's great, it's a blessing. And we know that there is a seed is planted there. But we want to know, like, about testimonies of changed lives. And that's why I'm saying this is an introduction to tell you the best testimonies and stories come from Iran. I'll tell you this story, and this will explain the effect or the effectiveness of Sat 7, you know, like in the hearts of people. This lady lives in Tehran, in Iran. She wrote to Seth Sevenpar saying, I became a Christian because of you. I don't know any other pastor or a Christian, you know, like near me, or I cannot go to church because I don't know where church is. So you, Seth Sevenpar, became a church in my house. So when you pray, I pray with you on the screen.
So the program was her church.
Yeah, this is what she's saying. Like, you know, like, so you're becoming, all the programs you're broadcasting on Set 7 Pars became my church, you know, because we broadcast a lot of teaching, mainly teaching for Set 7 Pars, recognizing that the church there is limited, not a lot of, you know, like evangelists or people who are teaching or teachers. So we try to bring, you know, teaching on the screen to assist this new believers in Iran. So she said, I don't know where to go. There is no church nearby. I don't know any other pastor, but you became my church at home. So when you pray, I pray with you. When you worship, I worship with you. And I pray one day I will do it in person. And that day, my dear friends in Set 7, when I meet you in person, I will bow down and I'll wash your feet and tell you, thank you for all what you're doing to the isolated believers like me in Tehran, Iran.
Amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
Amazing, amazing. What about the person who wanted to be baptized? Tell us about that.
This young girl?
Yes.
In her bathtub?
Well, because on the program she heard about you needed
yes.
to be baptized.
Yeah. I mean, like, this is fantastic story that was told, you know, like to me by, you know, like the team in Pars,
yes.
that this girl, she is 12 or 13 and she's following, you know, like all our teaching programs. And she said, but I'm not a complete Christian until I'll, you know, baptized. So she went to the bathtub, filled the you know, bath with water. And she said, I baptize myself now. I can become a Christian.
But that's amazing, though, because obviously she doesn't know another Christian. She doesn't know of a church. And she hears the truth
yeah.
that if you believe in Jesus, believe and be baptized.
Yeah.
So she baptizes herself. Mm. I love that story.
And that's why we are heavy on teaching for Set 7 Pars, you know, because we recognize that not a lot of teachers, you know, there, no church. The underground church now, with all what's happening, they're a little bit, you know, like reluctant to meet. So we're heavy on teaching and, you know, like from the Bible, from the Word of God. But it's amazing to see. And this is what struck me the most. Because I come from a country of war, because I know what does it mean, the word suffering and pain, because I have my challenges, and we still have challenges until today in the Middle East. It struck me when I see people in the region living in places like Algeria or Tunisia or Morocco or Iran, and they're very vocal and they're telling about their passion and love for Christ, even though they know that the price is persecution.
Yes.
Our teams in the Arabic channels and Turk channels, the Pars channels, a lot of them, they have families, especially in Pars, you know, in Iran, and they still want to go on air and say we are Christian. The Turk, they're all, of course, they're Muslim, became Christians, and they know what does it mean to be a Turk Christian in Turkey, and they still press on. The Iranian team still press on. The Arabic team, Egypt, Lebanon, they're a bit of a three countries. You can be a Christian and you can, you know, like go to worship and you go to church. But in places like Algeria or Tunisia or Morocco, this is a big challenge.
Yes.
I remember the first time I went to Algeria, it's upon their request, the church there from Amaziri and Oran saying, Rita, you always broadcast church services from Lebanon and Egypt. Come and visit our church. Come and see and broadcast from our church. I went there and the church is packed. And they're all, you know, from Muslim background. Worshipping, praying. You remember the early church?
Yes.
In the books of Acts, this is the church in Algeria. After they worship and pray together, they just, you know, cook a meal, share, you know, like a meal, you know, communion. I mean, church service will last 5-6 hours. It's like amazing. So that time when I went there, I was like really so blessed to see these people and worship with them. And this lady came and said, see, now you can put cameras and start broadcasting our church services on the screen. And I'm like arguing with her. Hey, her name is Samia. She works with us today. I said, Samia, you know that your faces will be shown all over the world. She said, yeah. And I said, do you know like the price of showing your faces, you know, and you're worshiping your Christian from a Muslim background? She said, yeah. And I was like shocked. And she said, Rita, look at me. I said, yeah. She said, what are you afraid of? I said, I'm just afraid for your sake. And she said, you mean persecution? I said, yeah. She said, persecution is a crown we put on our heads every single day. Please don't take it away from us.
Beautiful.
And we started broadcasting in 2013, the church services from there. And we're still broadcasting until today, even though that, you know, like the churches are being closed now. But they're always saying, this is the church, the body of Christ in Algeria. They say, Rita, they can close our churches, but they can never close our hearts. Loving Jesus Christ.
Amazing.
What a testimony.
I love that. Persecution is a crown that we wear every day. And I'm reminded, Rita, that the Greek word for witness is martyria.
It's like martyr.
From which we get the word martyr. Wow. So there will be a cost to being a witness for Jesus. The story of Sat 7 is told in more detail. And I love the title, Rita, Dare to Believe. And this tells more about the story.
It's written by the founder, yes, and President Terence Ascott, who lived all of his life in the Middle East.
Amazing.
So you can read a lot of these stories I'm telling you in this book.
Yes. Rita, it's wonderful what you and your colleagues are doing at SAT7 for the Middle East. And we pray that the Lord will continue to, as Jabez prayed, that he will continue to bless you and widen your influence.
Amen.
And
thank
that you will know
much.
God's hand with you and be protected. Thank you so
thank you very much, Rita,
for joining us on Facing the Canon.
Thank you.
Wasn't that inspirational? Truly was. Can I encourage you to visit the SAT7 website? Please pray for this ministry in the Middle East for a time such as this. And find out more and see if you can support what they do. Thank you so much for joining us on Facing the Canon.
You've been listening to the J-John podcast. Well, I don't know about you, but I found today's conversation both a challenge and an inspiration. I love the story of how Rita's father shielded her to protect her during the Civil War, which is such a beautiful picture of how God shields and protects us. To find out more about the work of SAT7, why not visit their website, sat7.org. I'm delighted to let you know about a short booklet that's been produced by J-John that's ideal to be given away to others during the Olympic and Paralympic Games 2024. The booklet's entitled Running the Race of Your Life, and it tells the inspirational story of the Olympian Eric Liddell. 100 years ago, Eric Liddell became a global celebrity with a dramatic victory in the Paris 1924 Olympic Games. His triumph is retold in the film Chariots of Fire, but there's so much more to his story. On the 100th anniversary of his famous race in Paris, help others to discover what inspired Liddell and help them understand how they can run the race of their lives. Find out more about this initiative, request a free sample copy, and place your order at raceofyourlife.co.uk. If you've enjoyed this episode of the J-John podcast, press subscribe to be notified about future episodes. You've been listening to J-John in conversation with Rita Elmenea.